So watch me be.
Yes, get your mic unmuted, fool.
So watch me.
Nope.
There.
Watch me whip.
Nope.
Watch me nay nay.
Watch me nay nay. So
you're still not. You're still not your mic, man.
Well. Do you want to go bigger, badder, better, more? Are you ready to level up your life? Are you ready to be awesome? Now is the time, and this is Success Freaks.
Welcome everyone to the number one IRUSA Day comedic motivational show, otherwise known as Success Freaks. Today's working title is episode 257. What a relief. And today we're coming at you semi-live, so we think, from Alexandria, Virginia, and the Bears Den in Conyers, Georgia. In that Bears Den is a somewhat patient Charles McFall, the dark side of positive.
Do it now! Do it now!
So, hey, now, just as we were beginning the show, people are stepping into the room.
Get out.
People, but we are here in the IRUSA offices. That's right. Are you our sponsors? Are you our just people that give us money on a regular basis? What? I don't understand.
We are your sponsors, of course.
Sponsors from Islamic USA. And that was none other than Damn It Carl. Hashtag Damn It Carl.
So Carl.
Yes, I'm here.
When I'm thinking of falling off the wagon and following Christianity, are you my sponsor and I have to call you to get Muslim again? Is that?
Hey, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. We actually.
Sweet.
We just did another podcast, and Morden was telling us that the Kool-Aid is grape flavored. So
no, blueberry.
Oh, blueberry. Sorry.
Gross. It drinks blueberry Kool-Aid.
Yeah, so it's blueberry Kool-Aid. So anytime you're ready to, you know, just want more of that Kool-Aid, you know where to find us. Oh. The easy listening sounds of 97.2.
Hard pass. So this is not what we call to talk about, though, is it? We call not, you know, yes, they approached us as sponsors, but really Carl has been a cool guy and become a friend ever since we met him at New Media Expo last year.
That's right.
And that's really why we work with IRUSA.
Do you want to share that story? You want to share it from your...
Actually, I don't have a story from that. I had this shaggy bearded, long haired guy hanging out with Morden, and every once in a while he introduced himself as Carl.
Talking about Morden. That's why I got...
No, man. My hair keeps getting shorter and shorter. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. No, this guy walks up to us and says, you know what, I really like what you guys do, and we wanna talk about potentially sponsoring you. And we're like, okay, cool. And then he's
I was more like, whatever. I've heard it before.
And we're like, okay, cool. And that's the Islamic Relief USA. And we're like, what? So he begins to tell us exactly what IRUSA is all about. Working together for a better world. Okay. And he says, I am the perfect person to talk to you about this. I'm the poster child for this. I'm a white guy from DC and I'm a Muslim. So we're like, all right. So we vetted them. They vetted us. We looked at this. We really learned a lot about a lot more about Islam than I knew at the time. And then, you know, about what IRUSA is doing here in the United States, going and helping with disaster relief. You know, if there's flooding happening on the plains, if there's things happening, as Tamana is waving at us from outside the glass. If there's, you know, just the issue in Flint with the water, everything, IRUSA is there helping people, helping homeless, helping. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to be Muslim. You don't have to be of any color, of any race, of any creed. If you're here and you're in need, they're there to help. And that's why we're working together.
For a better world.
What are you doing on your phone, dude?
I'm sending actually a text that's very pertinent to you.
Okay.
So it's very much work related, and it's very actually directed for you.
Okay.
So
all right. Well, this is what's going on. That was my experience with Carl. How about you, Charles?
I told you my experience. He really apparently interacted with you a lot during New Media Expo because I got, hi, I'm Carl. I've been speaking with Mordant, and we'd like to talk to you about possibly sponsoring you. And I said, sure, okay, because, you know, whatever, people approach us. And it's like, you know, when I see it happen, I'll believe it type of deal. And that was pretty much the extent of it. I mean, I really did not get any interaction with Carl at New Media Expo. It wasn't until later when we set up a phone call because he was serious. And I didn't honestly take him serious at first. Well, and he was serious. And so we set up a call and you and I talked to him. And then we started the process that you laid out. But yeah, I really did not interact with him. It was weird that way because normally I interact with everybody, at least the same people you interact with, and he was all you that time.
Yes, but we also have other people here from IRUSA, just like we did last year. We're all these people we've come up and said, hey, you're talking on a podcast today, and much like we did a year ago, they said, what? So who do we have with us right this moment?
Well, I'm Maysoon Olabi. I'm the media specialist for Islamic Relief USA.
Excellent, excellent. And what do you do as the media? We also have an intern who is now on headphones. We have two interns in the room, and they're all working with public affairs and very shy to be on the radio at this time. Mm-hmm. So tell us what you do as the media specialist.
Well, I'm basically responsible for maintaining a good relationship with media and to answer emails that ask for specific media requests, and also I'm in charge of issuing press releases about the work that we do.
Do you ever issue a press release about IRUSA working with Success Freaks?
Not yet, but there's always.
We have. We did do that last year. When we did this, we did set up a press release because we were working with you guys, because we're so proud and honored and, do we say, I dare say humbled to be working with you guys, because you're such a talent and a force that it's an honor to be sponsors of the show, and it's an honor to be working with you.
Oh my God, stop. Thank you. How long have you been working with IRUSA?
3 months.
Three months?
Probably why I didn't know about the release.
Yeah, so there's this thing that we have. It's called a spot, and Mornin just put you on it.
Yeah, I just put you on it. Look, here's a bus. I'm throwing you under it right now. how did you get involved? What is it that drew you to IRUSA?
Well, I've read a lot about. First of all, we came to the United States fairly early. So we came. I just arrived in the United States.
From where?
2 years ago. We were living in Doha, my husband and I.
Excellent.
In Qatar. So of course, I already knew a lot about Islamic Relief because I had studied in the UK, and there were, I had some of involvement with Islamic Relief worldwide and so on. So the name is like really a brand that is known in the Islamic world in terms of relief and so on. So when we came here, I knew that there was a job opening and I applied. And it just
And they said yes.
And yeah, apparently.
Well, we're not sure if they said yes. She just started showing up. So, we'll take it. We'll work with it.
We should pay her. And she's here all the time. Give her something to do, please.
She showed up regularly. She was nice. Why not? We'll just keep her.
I'm going to ask one of our interns who are fresh faces to please jump on the microphone. One of you two. It doesn't matter. Either one. Oh, here we go. So, hello, intern number one. Who is this?
Hi, my name is Christy Bechtel.
Christy Bechtel, where are you from?
I'm from Michigan.
Michigan, that's a little way from Qatar.
Yes.
So how did you begin working with IRUSA?
Well, I'm in D.C. for the summer with a fellowship through the National Council on U.S. Arab Relations, and they placed me here at Islamic Relief.
Are you Arabic?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No.
Carl. Wait, Carl, did you just correct him? You got to do that in the microphone because we'd like to hear that.
No, see, I was... Based on our earlier conversation before we started recording, I keep myself muted when I'm not speaking, and so I'm a little slow to the mute button there. But I did correct him. It's are you Arab?
Arabic
is a language. It's are you Arab?
And I was rightfully corrected about that because I'm the grammar guy, and yet I said that.
So did you see that bus that just ran through here?
Yeah, that was mine. Yeah. My name was on that. How long have you been working here?
Just 2 weeks now.
2 weeks, and how do you like it so far?
I love it. Everyone's really friendly and nice, and I'm doing some really cool stuff.
What's the thing that's impacted you most about, or what have you learned the most about working with IRUSA?
Well, we just hosted a Ramadan iftar event.
Wait. For our listeners, what does that mean?
So iftar is when you break fast at night during Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. So the public affairs department hosted a dinner and it was really fun.
What has the media been doing with that?
Excuse me?
With Ramadan, have you been doing anything specifically for that?
Yeah, sure. Well, reporting out on all the good stuff that's been going on here in programs and in other departments as well, that's what I do. So we had like the food packaging event that happened just at the beginning or before Ramadan. And the distribution of the 5,000 food packages, we put that out in the news, and there was a press release about that and was perceived very well. And, of course, all the other activities. Also, we write a lot of blogs and, not a lot. Most of it is done by another writer, Chansey, who is not here right now, but... Yeah, that is media related. You might as well look it up. It's a daily blog on Ramadan from each country, from a different country every day. So it's quite interesting.
Oh, we'll find that and we'll put that in our show notes. Well, I think we've actually hit the wall on this segment, Charles.
Yes.
Do you want to take us out?
Okay, find us at successfreaks.com, and we'll be right back in just a moment. I thought you were going to do it. Sorry.
All right, it's all right.
Since 2011, Mordant and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money and even on beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they'd like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/successfreaks.
Welcome back to Success Freaks episode 257. What a relief. And we are back right now with yet another segment of our trip here to Alexandria, Virginia and the offices of IRUSA. Across from me, IRUSA.
IRUSA,
as they say in the old country. And I have Carl ready to talk to somebody who is here.
Sorry, somebody's phone is buzzing and it's on the table. It's driving me nuts. But anyway, so with that being said, hi. Damn it, Carl's here in person. So what's going on? So,
how's it going, guys?
Yeah, what's up? So we actually have what I'm going to consider, or I'm going to call, a very entertaining segment. Now, we have Miriam joining us from the call center, and the reason Miriam is here is because her supervisor Rula, and I just want to say that name again because she continuously ducks the microphone when we're talking. So Rula said that we should talk to somebody from her staff because they get fun and entertaining phone calls all day long.
All day.
And we also have IRUSA has a chat function where you can reach out to customer support if you need it, and they get fun little chats. And I see that Miriam, she not only is gracious enough to join us here, but dude, she wrote it all down. She has a page of stories for us. So Miriam, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to be here.
And
see that she's not afraid of the microphone.
No, she's not.
Excellent.
Mike is my friend.
There. So tell us what is it? Set us up with what you do.
Sure. Okay. So what we do in the call center is we take calls, we answer emails and chats. We're basically kind of like the voice of IR. Whenever anybody wants to talk to us, we're what you get. So what we do on the surface is all of that. We send mail, we take calls, all of that. But we also do a lot of background things that people don't know about. For example, people send us strange requests. we got an email once, and it says, and I'm quoting this. This is directly from the email.
Don't give out the email address of the person.
No email address.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no email addresses.
No lawsuits.
Y'all take all the fun out of everything.
We take all the litigation out of everything. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, if anybody's got great lawyers, it's got to be IRUSA. I'm saying.
We have a few on staff and an intern, too.
Excellent.
Yes. So the email says, "Hi, team. I would like to adopt a woman. Please let me know the details. Thanks."
Adopt a woman. Yes. Okay. So what was the response to this person?
I mean, we just gave our normal response that unfortunately I don't know how to help you. We can adopt. We can help you sponsor an orphan, but that's about all we can do because that's one of the services that Islamic Relief offers. We don't adopt women. I apologize to everyone, all the listeners who might want to adopt women. We're not the organization for you.
So watch me be.
Yes, get your mic unmuted, fool.
So watch me.
Nope.
Still not doing it.
What? I keep expecting after all this. Watch me whip.
Nope.
Watch me nay nay.
Watch me nay nay. So
you're still not. You're still not your mic, man.
I turned it down. I turned it down.
There you go.
Professional. This is what we do all day. But
yeah. Quick podcasting tip. It helps to have a microphone.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. So moving right along, watch me derail this conversation. You know how we were just, besides me unmuting my microphone, do you remember how we were just talking about having a lawyer on staff?
Yes.
Okay, so since Miriam just read a quote about having to adopt, needing help in adopting a wife, Sharif just joined us, who is one of our lawyers. So, Sharif, would you care to make a legal statement about IR's position on adopting wives?
I'm not going to take any legal stances on the podcast. For sure. That's the first thing I'm going to do.
Yes, spoken like a true lawyer.
Yeah. Definitely, especially as soon as I jump into the room, I'm not going to be taking any legal decisions.
Okay.
But it's definitely something that I would say is at minimum frowned upon.
There you go.
Frowned upon. So, that's so good.
Miriam, continue.
Okay, so we also get prank calls. So one of my coworkers, he's a very serious guy. He does his work, he leaves. So, of course, it was perfect for him to get this call. So someone answered, he answered the phone. He said, "Assalamu alaikum, this is Muhammad. Thank you for contacting Islamic Relief USA. How may I assist you?" And someone said, "Is this the Krusty Krab?"
Did he know what it was? Did he know the reference?
And then, he did. He got the reference, but all he said was, "Nope," and then he hung up.
What you want to explain to our listeners what the reference is?
It's SpongeBob.
SpongeBob SquarePants. Your listeners don't know who SpongeBob SquarePants is?
But I don't
SpongeBob
watch them. I know. Stop. Please stop.
This is a comedian who does topical social humor on stage. Of course he doesn't know who SpongeBob is. That's such a small blip in
not very
history
good.
That, you know.
No, that's why I do podcasting. I'm not a good comedian. So I also hear that people have called looking for wives.
Yeah. Are you asking?
No.
He's there to pick one up today.
So with that, back over to Sharif.
I've been working with IRUSA for about a year now, and I think now I want my wife. hello, yeah.
No, halalia.
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 All right, hashtag. So anything else? Do you have anything else?
Let's see. In honor of Ramadan, I don't know if everybody knows what Ramadan is. So we basically fast for 30 days. And so sometimes we also...
From morning till night, not, you know, you're not, you know, fasting for 30 days.
Yes, yes. We're right. Still alive. some people, they, it's a hard fast. It's during summer. Some people need a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of push. So sometimes we can offer that at the call center. If you break your fast for a non-valid reason, such as you don't want to fast, then you have to pay fidya, which is a donation. So this brother called in and he said, "How much is I'm sorry, it's kafara. I apologize. That's right. Kafara that you pay for if you break your fast for no reason. So he said, how much is the kafara? And we told him that it's the price of feeding 60 people, which is $10 per person, a total of $600 per day. And he righteously decided to continue on fasting.
I thought you were going to write you a check. I was going to be really impressed. So,
that leads to a question.
Sure.
Obviously, it's for people who choose to submit to that, but where did that number come from, and why is it a thing in Ramadan?
Well, I'm actually not. Oh, yeah,
hang on, the lawyer's answering this now. So,
no, I think Carl wants me to answer because just of. I think on these religious questions, he likes me to chime in, but
he's so smart.
No, that's not it.
But if he was smart, he wouldn't be in the room with us right now.
If I was smart, I know the answer. Yeah. So I unfortunately don't know the exact answer, but there is a calculation method. It was based on, at the time, it was based on some certain grains and the amount of grains it would cost. But the feeding of the people, generally, it was just an estimate about how much it would cost to have one meal for an individual. So that number, but I'm not exactly sure the formula that's used. For that to calculate.
So that $600 is not the actual number or anything.
I mean, no, I think that is the accurate number now, but I'm not sure how that formula.
But then most people tend to continue fasting.
Well, it's actually considered a sin to break your fast without valid reason. So most people won't actually want to break their fast because it could be considered a sin.
Right.
Though there isn't a way to get out of it. It's kind of like a get out of jail free card, I guess, but it's not too free. It's
right.
A little expensive, so some people don't do it. But usually that is coupled with if you're sick and you can't fast, or even if it's just maybe temporarily and you can't make up the fast. So some people would rather pay the fidya or the kafara instead of actually making up the fast or something like that.
Right.
But then it's excused for some people who have medical reasons from fasting. Mm-hmm. They don't have to fast.
We're all watching Carl wave his hand. That's me. That's me.
Yep. So I have to pay that every year because I have medical conditions that prohibit me from fasting. Mm-hmm. I mean, because, you know, we were kind of talking about this beforehand, which is that they don't want us. There's no reason to have this cause your life.
Yeah.
So, you know, be smart about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another segment. If you want to listen to Success Freaks anywhere in the Gastonia, North Carolina area, you can go to WGNC 1450 AM every Thursday at 5 p.m. ish. And we are there.
The people of many Eastern African countries are used to dealing with hot, dry weather. But sometimes weather comes along that is just too much. Now is one of those times. Parts of Africa are facing the worst droughts in decades. While some areas are getting flooded with too much rain, livelihoods are being destroyed. Islamic Relief's local teams are on the ground, ready to deliver the emergency relief to these communities. Will you give them something to deliver?
Welcome back to Success Freaks, episode 257. What a relief. And today we have people from IRUSA, and we have two new players right now. Everybody knows the lawyer Sharif. But we also have Khaled
Hamadi.
I was so close. The new COO of IRUSA. Welcome, sir.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And to my right, we have
Minkailu Jallo, the U.S. Programs Specialist.
Excellent. So now everybody knows the players. If you will begin with what you're doing at IRUSA.
As a new CEO, previously a board member, pretty much I'm now involved in organizational structure, talking to each one in the organization about what the issues are, how can we move the organization forward, how the future can be so bright for all of us if we work together as a team, and putting the right pieces together so we can continue helping the poor and the needy, specifically the orphans all over the world, including in the U.S.
Excellent. And that does happen in the U.S. A lot of people will look at the advertising and think, oh, you're just helping people over there, but what are you doing here? And actually, IRUSA does a lot here in the United States.
Absolutely. We just finished packing about 5,000 boxes through the program we called Ramadan Packing, helping the needy in the U.S. and four different geographical areas, putting a lot of rice and essentials, sugar in these boxes and giving it to the needy in this area. We believe there's a lot of people in the U.S., whether they're the homeless, whether they're children. We know one out of 37 people sleeps hungry every night. At least in California, one out of every five children under the poverty line. And we really need to take care of these vulnerable community members. And that's where we invest a lot.
Wow. Isn't it true that people who are celebrating Ramadan will take some of the money that they would normally spend on the food they would eat that day and donate it to the needy?
Exactly. This is the time. This is the month of giving, whether from day one till the end of the day and end of the month. We continue giving out every single night. Whenever you go to the mosques during our nightly prayers, you'll see people collecting money for different causes, whether for the orphans, whether for the needy, whether for the homeless, through the food pantries, feeding soup kitchens. All this is giving out. So this is the month of giving and encouraging everyone to do so. And this is the month that part of our savings at the end of the year, this is the month where we give it out up to 2.5% of our savings. In addition to the end of Ramadan, there's also tradition that we give a lot of money for the poor and needy before we celebrate at the end of the month. So this is where everyone is encouraged to do their best and share whatever they have with their community members who are less fortunate.
Wow. How does Ramadan and working at IRUSA been affecting either of you? The quiet guys.
Well, I think Mikhailo should answer since
he's the new one.
Oh, man.
Well, he has a lot of direct connection, especially with our beneficiaries. So I think he's witnessed it firsthand. I haven't had the same opportunities as
he. Yeah.
And he's worked with Charles before.
I have. We had a good time down in Atlanta. You know, people laughed, cried, they passed out.
They did.
I'm not even kidding. It's interesting, you know. Especially last year in particular, I actually was traveling quite a bit throughout the U.S. with the Ramadan food boxes, the food box distribution that we were doing. And, you know, one thing that I can say about, in particular, hunger in the United States, in seeing the different people that were coming and collecting food, is that it was crazy to me how much it permeates our society, mm-hmm. that every single type of person that you could ever imagine, you know, you think perhaps, you know, it's going to be a one particular group or some particular, you know, population that's mm-hmm. more so than others dealing with these issues. But even in suburban communities, you know, there were people who were coming to collect food.
Wow.
And it's really something that has, I think, dramatically increased in the recent past in this country because of, you know, various economic circumstances, income inequality, and things of that nature. It's a very kind of, I mean, it's a very disheartening thing, especially to see in this country where we have so much. We have an abundance of resources. We have a lot available to us. But for whatever reason, it's either concentrated in one particular group or another, or, you know, it's just not being spread around. And that was one of the things that I saw most kind of apparently last year when I was traveling around and, you know, doing food distributions all over the U.S. But in terms of, I mean, doing this work during Ramadan in general, I mean, it's you can certainly feel a little bit more of, I think part of the you know, the reason for fasting is that sense of solidarity mm-hmm. that you feel with people who are struggling, as mentioned, I'm sure, before by other people. You know, you have that hunger in your stomach and you have that feeling of kind of that struggle a little bit, and you are more empathetic towards people because it's very easy when you go through your normal day and you're working and you're living your life and you're just kind of, you know, especially even in the humanitarian field, you know, we all do this for a living and it becomes routine sometimes. And right. So you can forget as much as anyone else can forget exactly what, who it is that you're dealing with and what they're going through and what their circumstances are. And that's, it's unfortunate because that's what brought most of us here. You know, this, we're mission oriented people. Nobody came here for the money. Nobody came here to get rich. Nobody came here, you know, looking for glory or anything of that nature. We came here because we believed in the mission and we wanted to serve people. We wanted to serve human beings. And unfortunately, because, you know, when you're doing that on such a broad, on a wide scale, there's procedures and processes and things like that, which are necessary to make sure that everything is happening as effectively as possible. You can sort of lose the human being in that. But Ramadan is a great time, I think, to remember that even for people like us in this field, you know, because you are in a greater state of empathy, you feel what people are feeling, you kind of, you look at them and you can understand to a greater extent, like, wow, this is, you know, a daily reality
right.
for people. This is just a month for me, but for other people, it's every single day.
And at the end of the day, you get to eat. And
right.
They may not.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're way more encouraged to, I'm broke at the end of Ramadan always because my money is gone. It's out the door. I see somebody, I don't care what it is. I'm scratching every single cent that I can find in every corner of my couch and pulling up whatever, anything I could find to run to go hand it out as much as possible because you really are just so much more encouraged to, you know, go out and give as much as possible when you have that experience. So,
awesome.
I mean, for me personally, that's, you know.
Does anybody have a personal experience that you've had with someone or that you've seen, you know, how IRUSA has affected someone's life? Is there a story that any of you have, actually?
Sure. Yeah, I can go. I can speak again
in less than 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, I think one of the more affecting ones that I had in the recent past was in Las Vegas, where, you know, outside of the glitz and the glamour of the Strip, a lot of people are really struggling, really suffering. A lot of speculation. That economy goes up and down, rises and falls very, very quickly. And there was a man and his wife who we had done a housing program there. And so there was a man and his wife who we went to visit who had gained, they had established themselves in permanent housing through the program that we were doing. And we put the camera on this guy and just let him talk. And we didn't prompt him with a single question. And the amount of gratitude and happiness and just, I can't even describe. You would think someone in that situation would be sad or despondent, and it wasn't even necessarily the best. You know, it was affordable, it was nice, it was clean, but it wasn't super fancy or luxurious. But he was so happy to be there. His prized possession was a plant, literally just a plant. And he was so happy to have this plant in a house that he lived in. And that's how bad his circumstances had been before. And kind of sitting and talking to that guy, you just, you know, we get mad when, I don't know, something doesn't go our way, something very small, or we don't get something very little. And this guy was happy just to have a plant in his house. And that really kind of was a very affecting, I remember that. There was a lot of tears that day. You know, that was a very affecting circumstance for me, certainly.
Excellent. Excellent. Charles?
Yes. Now listen to the stories. They're good stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Makes everybody want to sign up and do the ground level, you know. So yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah. You know what? You can find out more about IRUSA over at irusa.org. And you know what? They talk about this stuff on their podcast all the time. What a Relief podcast. Check that out at irusa.org/podcasts. We'll be back after this.
What happens when a self-help comedian and a social media manager both have a passion for podcasting and come together to support a common cause? A podcast is born. So what exactly is the What a Relief podcast? Each week, BC Dodge and R. Morton Mott from the Success Freaks podcast sit down with staff members and volunteers to talk about IRUSA efforts in the United States and abroad. So how can you listen to the podcast? Download from irusa.org. You can also find it on blueberry.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Subscribe and download the What a Relief podcast today.
Welcome back to Success Freaks episode 257, and it is the What a Relief podcast episode. Well, no, it's not. It's just the What a Relief episode because we are talking to people from IRUSA, and sitting to my virtual right or my physical right is Carl.
Here.
You're actually here.
Not virtual.
Anyways.
Okay.
Why don't you introduce our guest?
Okay. So, Sharif,
during the break, during the in between, you were starting to talk about a new campaign that IRUSA is getting ready to launch.
Yes, we started at the end of May. We had attended a few conventions at the end of May where we launched our Vote to End Hunger campaign. This campaign is an advocacy campaign where we're a part of the Vote to End Hunger, Alliance to End Hunger Coalition with Bread for the World and other faith-based and non and secular-based organizations that are calling on our political candidates to mention poverty and hunger and what they're going to do to end hunger in the United States and abroad. So as some of you are aware of, the United Nations last year in the UNGA provided a sustainable development goals, and they wanted to end hunger by 2030. And that's one of the goals that we are trying to support by activating people across the world so they could push their governments, push their developing institutions and agencies to help find solutions to hunger across the world and here in the United States as well. So that the campaign is really primarily we're focused on trying to get more people interested in this issue, trying to get our politicians, who are especially the ones who are running for office in the upcoming elections in November, to express what their views are about hunger in the United States and abroad, and how what policies do they plan to enact to support feeding people and providing sustainable livelihood changes to allow them to not go hungry again.
Where could people learn more about that?
They can learn more about that at www.irusa.org/vote-to-end-hunger.
Vote to end hunger. And I mean, as an organization, that is something that IRUSA is constantly working on, because in especially in this country, there's no reason for anyone to be hungry. And so we need to work together, and not just Muslims need to work together to help Muslims, but Americans need to work together to help Americans end hunger in America.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
You like that?
Yes. And you had something else you wanted to add?
Exactly. On the same line, this is very important to remember that 30 to 40% of the food is wasted every single year in the United States. If we are just to educate our community, 10% of that should be sufficient enough to feed every single homeless in our cities, every single child to sleep with the dinner on that night. So we have a lot to do on a grassroots basis. We are to address every single household to try to save some of this waste and try to help Islamic Relief and other organizations use that extra resources that they have inside their households and feed that neighbor home. Maybe their child is sleeping hungry or they have someone sleeping on the streets next door. We really need to work together. And this is where we are asking all of you to help us and help organizations like Islamic Relief to use some of these resources back to the community that they live in. Just remember, try to save as much as you can. Share a meal with your neighbor, give a cover to the homeless next door, and let's all work together so our communities are the best that they can be.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much. And enjoying the
trial. All right. Ciao. And he is now taking off because he has much to do being the COO of this fine organization. So thank you. We actually have somebody from the chat room who has a question. She said, I would like to know, a listener, Sherry, would like to know, if they do any kind of food distribution in the Charlotte area, Charlotte, North Carolina, when would that be and how can I help them out with it? So
I think we don't have anything right now in Charlotte, but we do have a distribution in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay.
I'm sure if they check out, do we have it available right now on our website, Carl? Do you know?
I don't know, but
the food distribution.
Yeah, I mean the easiest thing to do would just make sure you follow us on social. On Twitter, it's Islamic Relief. On Facebook, it's Islamic Relief USA. And that would be the best way to keep up to date and keep track with us. And of course, IRUSA.org. If the information's not up there, we'll get it up there soon.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent. Charles, do you have any questions for anybody in the room?
So I was wondering if you had a food distribution in Charlotte, and if so, how could I become a part of that? What's next, Carl? You're always doing new stuff with the podcast, new stuff with the Twitter, blah, blah, blah. How are you growing the social presence of IRUSA, and how are you going to make it fun to be a part of?
So, yeah, what is next, Carl? How are you? He had stepped away from his headphones.
I was getting back into the driver's seat. I wasn't at my mic with my headphones. So, anyway,
why don't you throw that question to him again?
Carl, what are you doing to make things more fun for us on social media to be a part of what you're doing?
What do I do on social media to make it more fun?
What's next?
What's next? What's coming up with IRUSA or Water Relief or anything like that?
I asked it really awesomely the first time. It's not my fault you weren't there to hear it.
Carl just messed it
up
again.
I'm sorry. There, of course, is the Water Relief podcast, which can be found at IRUSA.org/podcasts. because before anybody gives me any crap about that, it's because IRUSA.org/podcast is actually our RSS feeds for some reason. So it's podcasts to see the list and keep up to date with us. But we are always trying to have fun on social media. I know we're an NGO, and a lot of the things that we talk about and a lot of the things that we cover are very serious. And it's not just – there is – in the United States, of course, there's hunger and there's a lot of other social issues and social changes that need to be made. I'm kind of like looking out of the corner of my eye here because I want to say there's things like hunger, education, domestic abuse, addiction, things that need to be addressed. Okay, Sharif didn't hit me when I said that, so we're good. And so these things need to be addressed and these changes need to take place. But if we don't come together as a people, you know, those changes can't take place socially. But those are really heavy topics. And so while we do talk about those programs and we do promote them on our social media, I try to have a little fun on social media just to keep it light. Because if we spend all day long talking about all of these just really heavy things, it'll drive you nuts. So it's good to have fun. Like, I don't know if you guys saw it, but I can definitely get you a link for it. The Water Relief Podcast was nominated for the Podcast Awards, and we did a 30-second little highly cheesy video just to have a little fun. So that's what I'm doing on social media for IRUSA.
So should possibly people vote once a day until June 12th for Water Relief Podcast and government and organizations?
I would say that. However, I don't know exactly what your release time is on this.
Yeah, so those listening live should vote every day. Those of you
every day.
But those of you who are just now hearing the podcast, it probably is past.
Yeah, because
June 12th.
Yeah, because if Success Freaks gets published on a Tuesday, that would make this next Tuesday, which would make the podcast voting over.
Over. So thank you for all of those who have actually voted.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for those that voted for other podcasts beside the Water Relief.
Breaking the panel.
From the helicarrier.
From the helicarrier.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yes. Damn it, Carl scores again.
Well, is there anything else that we have one more segment. So is there anything else you'd like to say, well, we're going to bid our fine lawyer friend adieu. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Such a nice boy.
Okay. So we'll be back after a minute because apparently they're just randomly ending segment with 42 seconds to go. So this is Charles with Success Freaks saying, hey, check us out at successfreaks.com. Yep. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, all that jazz. And, of course, check out Water Relief Podcast and the great work they're doing over there. New and notable on iTunes for a while. Now it's under What's Hot. So check that out. We'll be back in just a moment.
Since 2011, Mordant and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money and even on beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they'd like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/successfreaks.
Yeah. Iftar was a decent movie with Dustin Hoffman and all that.
Right? Yeah, I don't know if it was decent.
It was
man.
Not.
You might be.
It was
that,
not.
Yeah.
Thank you. The pun was very good right there. However, Iftar was awful. awful movie.
It was not all that.
And I wanted it to be good. I was excited, and it was not.
I agree.
So,
and that's right. How we start on Beyond Success Freaks. Sometimes I just sneak it in on you. So this is we're going bigger, better, better, more into IR USA. I'm Charles McFall. We're going to finally get to say some things because it's awesome and fun. Awesome and fun. Where we have a bunch of interviews going on. But there is a question that came up in the middle of this interview that I need to bring to Carl is last year he was all on top of, oh, you want to help? Here's this food distribution and this and that. And my kids loved it. They loved being able to come out and help and load boxes. And
In Atlanta,
yeah. And it was a great thing. And so in the segment, I was like, hey, when are y'all coming to Atlanta? Oh, we were here last week. I was like, oh, really? Because just today, as I was getting ready for the show, my wife's like, hey, find out when the distribution is going to be because the kids really loved it and she's really into having them do more charity work and that kind of thing. And then the other question she had was, and I do get to go to report to her, well, damn it, Carl didn't tell us that there was a distribution, so we don't get to do that until 2 months from now. But the real question is, with colleges and those kind of things, right, as you move forward in life, you try to get into a nice school or whatnot, and they want to know just more than what your grades were. They want to know what you did to help the community. How is IRUSA doing that for high schoolers or even younger ages like my kids, 10 and 9, anybody that helps out? Essentially, how do you get credit for helping with that?
Okay, so A, yes, we will be in Atlanta again in 2 months, and you guys can you guys can go there.
He just looked it up.
You know, to be honest with you, there was obviously a lack of communication.
Well, let's answer that. How is that tracked if somebody wants to be a part of a distribution or as a family in need of distribution stuff?
Okay. So if somebody wants to take part and somebody wants to volunteer and lend a hand, the easiest thing to do is to go to irusa.org/volunteer. On there, you will find all the paperwork and all the forms to fill out and submit so that you can become an official IRUSA volunteer. And you get a real groovy t-shirt if you do that too.
A groovy t-shirt.
Yeah, man. But that's the easiest and best way to become a volunteer is to go through the website, through that page. And when something's happening in your area, whether it's a food distribution or it's a fundraiser or whatever's going on. I know in August we have some Walk for Waters coming up, which is just a really long walk where people sponsored and raised money for delivering water and wells. But anyway, the easiest way to go about that is to go to irusa.org/volunteer. Fill out the forms. We'll get you vetted. We'll get you in the list, and we'll get you contacted, and we will make sure that it happens.
That brings up an interesting question that you may or may not be able to talk about. You mentioned vetting and making sure people – basically, you're making sure people are there for the right reasons, helping, doing the right thing.
Correct.
What kind of things get you eliminated from being a volunteer?
Dun, dun, dun. Well, if you call into the call
– Yeah,
if you want to adopt a woman.
Ask for a wife and then ask why you can't volunteer, you'd probably be completely squared away.
So, but what else would really get them?
I actually don't know that. However, we do have a volunteer coordinator here that if you go to the irusa.org/volunteer, they'll get you in contact and you can ask all your questions to them because I don't work in the volunteer department. I actually direct all questions and traffic to him because that's his job.
Okay. Is there anything you've been working with? How long have you been here? At 3 years.
3 years.
3 years. He's holding up three fingers.
I was
going to
say I was miming that because miming is always awesome for radio.
What has been? You know, I'm sure it's a job. You know, so you have people that have friends that work here. That's B. So, but what's really been your calling? Do you have a personal experience that you would like to share or could share about how you feel like you've affected somebody or how this is, you know, what have you seen?
So I think really that for me, it's
personal experience. Give me a story, baby.
It's the outreach that I do. And I know that may sound cheesy and I maybe it sounds like I'm dipping your question, but I mean, this is what I do. Outreach is what I do. And while most of my outreach, probably 95% of it, takes place from behind a keyboard, it is what I do and it's what I enjoy doing. And I always like talking to people. I like, you know, if somebody has a question or somebody has a need, and getting them to the right place, getting them what they're after, and seeing the follow-up comments on social media afterwards is always awesome too.
A liar. Sometimes we get trolled on social media, is what I'm saying.
No, that trolls exist. Those are the ones that make my job fun. And I will tell you something. I'm going to soapbox just for a quick second here, okay? Because I'm going to tell you one of the most annoying troll comments that I personally get, because I do a lot of work from behind the keyboard for Islamic Relief USA on social media. So A, I am a Muslim convert. B, I was born here in the United States. C, my parents were both born here in the United States.
D, you're not sure of the alphabet.
D, yeah, it took me a second there. Number five, I'm also an honorably discharged veteran, not from one, but from two different armed services in the United States. When people tell me, go back where you came from, I just get so confused. Go back where you, I don't understand. Yeah. Where do you want me to go? I'm from here.
You have one answer. Michigan? ?
Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean go back where you came from? And most of the staff that work here, they were born here as well too. So when you get that Islamophobic rhetoric of go back where you came from, we're from here. Where do you want us to go?
So what two branches of the military were you in?
I was in the National Guard and I was in the U.S. Navy.
Excellent. I knew about the Navy. I didn't know about the National Guard.
Yeah, no, because see, I'm so stupid that I got out of active duty in the United States Navy and forgot why I got out
you
of active duty.
You just like to volunteer, man. That's
I do,
what,
and look
you
at me
went
now.
From the Navy to the National Guard to IRUSA because you can't volunteer.
Yeah, let's not publish that.
Of course, I don't have any room to speak because when the reason that there's a Water Relief podcast is because last year when I was here recording for Success Freaks, I got to sit in on a meeting, and my suggestion was, you guys need a podcast for your constituents.
Which,
for
technically, that's more than a suggestion for everything. I mean, he'll be in line at McDonald's. Oh, we're all of ice cream today. Our machine's not working. You know, you need a podcast to fix that. You get a podcast, McDonald's, you'll get more ice cream. I promise you.
It's true. It's true. I get more ice cream after I do a podcast.
You do, don't you?
I love me some ice cream. And sitting in there, they're like, that's great. It's a great idea. We'd like you to help. And I'm like, what? Did I just volunteer for something again? So
you know that Navy is actually an acronym, right?
No, for what?
Never again volunteer yourself.
And yet you did.
And here I am.
And here you are. All right.
So
I hope I answered your question.
Well, I got a follow-up to that. Why? Why did you, one, sign up for active duty Navy, then secondly, after discharging there, sign up again for another branch?
Okay, so I will answer that, but we have to, we should clarify that I am completely taking off my IRUSA hat right now, and I am speaking independently as an independent individual, so
okay.
This is not representative of IRUSA at all.
Were you a criminal avoiding prosecution?
No, I work with legal a lot, so I know how to cover my bases.
Oh yeah.
So I'm saying this is from me. The statements I'm about to make have zero relativity to IRUSA.
All right.
So veteran suicide in this country is a huge problem. I saw the numbers a couple of years back, and I think it was like there's like 10 every hour or 10 a day or something like that of service veterans that commit suicide. And it's a very large problem. And it actually stems all the way back to World War II. In World War II, when you were discharged, you were generally stationed someplace like Hawaii or Virginia Beach or some kind of beachy, fun area. And you were given time to decompress and try to get back in and try to work your way back into society. After World War II, they stopped those kinds of programs. And when you were done, and you were dismissed and handed your walking papers. the integration back into society after active duty is extremely difficult, and it leaves you with a myriad of emotions, because you have to realize for the last 4 years, for the last 6 years, for the last 8 years, for those that have retired for the last 20 years, somebody has told you what to wear, when to be where, what you're going to eat, and how it's going to be done. There are instruction manuals from how to fold your clothes to how to change gaskets inside pipe fittings. That is how you live your life. And then you wake up one morning and it's gone. There's nobody to talk to. There's nobody to associate with. There's nobody that was in the battlefield with you. There was nobody. There's nobody to say, yeah, I know what happened. It's not our fault. It's not your fault. But we're going to be okay. When you're discharged, you lose it. It's done. It's gone. I had a very, very difficult time reacclimating into being a civilian. I struggled a lot with it. So part of, let's call it self-therapy, was to enlist in the local National Guard so that while I was trying to reacclimate to society and trying to remember how to do things on my own and not being told what to eat, what to wear every day, you know, 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year, I was brought back to that where I'm like, oh, yes, this is where we were. And I found other people that were in similar situations. So you're with somebody who says, yes, I've been in combat. I know what that feels like. I'm here. Let's talk. So I joined the National Guard, the New Hampshire National Guard, to help me reacclimate back into society to overcome that depression. So how'd that get real for you?
How did that work out for you?
It actually worked out really well. It worked out really, really well because it helped with a slower transition. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like somebody pulled the rug out from underneath you. It wasn't like, you know, one day I'm on a huge floating city in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea for 9 months. And then the next day, I was working for a bank.
Alone in Michigan.
Yeah. So it was a huge help to be back into that environment, even if it was just for a little while.
Good. That's an excellent story. I mean, no funny to bring with that, but it's a really good story. And
awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
No problem.
And thank you for your service.
Thank you.
You know, twice.
Yeah, you know.
Three times if you include, you know, what you do here.
Yeah.
But go back where you came from. Okay. We're not
going to play. I don't want to go back to New Hampshire. It's economically depressed.
All right. Well, on that note, Mornet, you have to take us home.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in to a very interesting Success Freaks with our good friends here at Islamic Relief USA. Thank you for tuning in. This has been our Mornet Mom.
I'm Charles McFall, going to get more coffee because I didn't come up with anything to say.
Ciao, Success Freaks. Boom, baby.
Damn it, Carl.
Nice.